Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads among us today. May God bless you on this special day.
Today we're going to focus on the difference fathers make on Father's Day can be difficult for some. Not all have had wonderful experiences with their fathers, and that can be a cause for a great heartache. Some of us miss our fathers terribly because they have gone on to be with the Lord. And then there are those who struggle on Father's Day because they are separated from their children, or they have never had the privilege of having children. So for some, Father's Day is a sobering day. But then there are others who look forward to Father's Day. They look forward to being with their children. Look forward to enjoying and having their children show them special attention. Others look forward to expressing their love and respect and appreciation to the dads in their lives. Nevertheless, if Father's Day is a great day for you or a difficult day for you, it is right for us to honor God's plan for fatherhood and to show respect for the fathers and the grandfathers in our lives. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament contains this command: honor your father and your mother. There's a story about a father who had just made a perfect ham sandwich. It had a stack of ham. It had a fresh, do you know this, Chuck? No? Okay. It had fresh buns, had crisp lettuce, and plenty of expensive light brown spicy mustard. The man's taste buds were just aching with anticipation as he carried the sandwich out to the picnic table in the backyard. And as he picked up the sandwich with both hands, brought it to his mouth, he was suddenly stopped by his wife, who said, "Can you hold little Johnny for a minute while I make my sandwich?" Well, the dad took Johnny from his wife and sat there holding Johnny in one arm and trying to figure out how to eat the sandwich one-handed. It was at this point that the man noticed a streak of mustard on his finger. Loving that spicy mustard so much, he just licked off his finger. Never mind, Seymour. Unfortunately, it was not mustard. His wife said to him, "Now you know why they call that mustard poupon." But them are fathers, right? I know when our kids were real young, I'd have to watch babysit them. And I had one request when Rainey went out the door: don't be gone too long, because if he poops his pants, he ain't getting changed. And I don't even like poop on mustard. Well, let's talk about the difference that fathers make. Most of you remember the story of Nadia Suleiman and her octuplets. Remember that? That's right, 8 new babies at one time. It was amazing. The news was just all over this event. At first, the birth of these octuplets were celebrated until the fact about their circumstances came to light. One or more of the troubling things was that Nadia was an individual who intentionally brought 8 more children into the world without a father. Keep in mind that she already had 6 other kids. That's 14 fatherless children. What was she thinking? Suleiman's case is so unsettling, in part because it is an exaggerated picture of something that has become pandemic in the United States: the systematic abandonment of the norm of a two-parent home. The Center for Disease Control recently reported that about 40% of American children were born out of wedlock in 2007. More than triple the 11% rate in 1970. According to a prominent African American economist by the name of Walter Williams, the rate of fatherless black children is now at an astounding 70%. By contrast, Dr. Williams noted that in 1950, only 18% of black households were female-headed. But it's not teens who are causing the increase. It is the Nadia Sulemans of America, the young women in their 20s and 30s who don't see anything wrong with bringing a child into the world without a father, who are having children in increasing numbers. In fact, a Gallup survey found that 64% of young adults 18 to 29 think that having a child out of wedlock, listen to this, is morally acceptable. Now, I didn't write this in my sermon here, my notes, but this thought just came to mind. And then my question is, do you think this has anything to do with taking the Bible, the Ten Commandments, prayer, and all of these other things that we believe and cherish in out of the schools? And out of our government buildings. Just a thought. Don Williams, who did a parenting seminar a couple of years ago, wrote this. So when it comes to the importance of fathers, we are now suffering that perfect storm of three converging trends on our society. Number one, immorality. Our carnal culture has forgotten that crucial links between personal morality and relational stabilities. Number two, irresponsibility. As self-centered individuals place their own wants and wishes above the best interests of their children. And the third one, ignorance. Many people, both male and female, no longer understand why it is important for children to have both a mother and a father, a mom and a dad. Let me share some of the research that shows the difference that fathers make. According to Gallup poll, 90.3% of Americans agree fathers make a unique contribution to their children's lives. From a study based on 17,000 children born in Britain in 1958 who were followed up with at ages 7, 11, 16, 23, and 33, it was determined that children with involved fathers and grandfathers have less emotional and behavioral difficulties in adolescence. Teenagers who feel close to their fathers and grandfathers and adolescents go on to have more satisfactory adult marital relationships. Girls who have a strong relationship with their fathers and grandfathers during adolescence showed a lack of psychological distress in their adult lives. A survey of over 20,000 parents found that when fathers are involved in their children's education, including attending school meetings, volunteering at school, children were more likely to get A's, enjoy school, and participate in extracurricular activities, and less likely to have repeated a grade. Using nationally representative data on over 2,600 adults born in the inner city, it was found that children who lived with both parents were more likely to have finished high school, be economically self-efficient, and to have a healthier lifestyle than their peers who grew up in a broken home. My goal today is to remind dads and granddads about their duties and responsibilities is not to remind dads and granddads about their duties and responsibilities so much as to encourage and remind them of all their importance and respect the dignity of the role of fathers and grandfathers. How is it that dads and granddads make a difference? First of all, I'd like to suggest that dads and granddads make a difference through their leadership. God has ordered that the husband and father is to be the leader in the home, primarily through his example as he faithfully follows the commands of God in his own life. One thing just to be a father. It's another thing to just be the leader of the household. But none of it means anything if they don't follow the word of God, if they don't teach their children to follow Jesus. You see, God the Father is the perfect Father, altogether holy, righteous, loving, and wise. It is to that high standard that every earthly father and grandfather should be aspiring. Although we certainly fall short of being like God, no other target is worthy of their attention and effort. It is so important that fathers and grandfathers practice what they preach. A father's leadership also comes through the teaching and the discipline he gives his children. The Bible commands fathers to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The Bible commands that fathers discipline their children. To not do so is to subject your children to all kinds of trouble and failure. But the Bible also warns us to be careful that the training and discipline of our children is not too harsh or unreasonable. Otherwise, we may exasperate or embitter our children. Let the punishment fit the crime. One final thing about fathers and grandfathers' leadership. It can be powerfully exerted in prayer. Fathers and grandfathers, we need to pray for our children. Some of the most powerful pictures we have of biblical fathers is when they are praying for their children. James chapter 5, verse 16 reminds us that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Remember Job? Job was a father. He had lots of kids. And he prayed for his kids and he made sacrifices for each of his children. The Bible says that this was his regular practice. Just praying for our children once in a great while is great. But making it a regular practice is awesome. And this is what God has laid down for us. This is the examples that he's laid out for us in the scriptures through Job and through King David. As David approached death, he prayed a special prayer for his son Solomon. He prayed, "Give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands and your requirements and your decrees." There is so much we need to be praying about with regard to our kids and our grandkids. We can pray for their protection. We can pray for their safety. We can pray for their spiritual interests. We can pray for their faithfulness. We can pray for their education. We can pray for their future mates. We can pray for their families, their health, their prosperity, and their effectiveness in the kingdom, just to name a few. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Fathers and grandfathers make a difference through leadership. Second, I would suggest that fathers and grandfathers make a difference through laughter. Like the great spiritual song says in these lyrics, "The Lord loves a lasting man, fits right into his heavenly plan. So come on and laugh wherever you can, because the Lord loves a laughing man. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to. There was a woman that once said, I believe that God has a sense of humor. And she concluded by saying, He made men, didn't He? Like I said, I wasn't going to say that. Now I'll hear it when I get home when it comes time for lunch. What are we having, honey? I don't know, you make it, you know. Life can't be all about serious stuff. There needs to be some laughter. I was given this morning and asked if I would read it. It was laid on this person's breakfast table, and it says this, Dear Lord, so far today I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined and complained, cursed, or even eat chocolate. I have not charged on my credit card, and I thank you. However, I'm going to get out of bed in just a few minutes, and I will need a lot more help after that. First of all, dads and granddads need to be able to laugh at themselves. There are times that I do some pretty silly things, just ask my kids. Sometimes it's on purpose, other times it's just because it's me. Victor Moore said, laughter is the shortest distance between people. Laughter can bridge the gap with our kids and our grandkids. Someone said, laughter is contagious. So let's start an epidemic. So, Dad, let's learn to lighten up and find the humor in ourselves and even in the difficult situations. I think laughter makes a big difference in parenting. Finally, I would suggest that fathers and grandfathers make a difference through love. Certainly, this seems like a no-brainer. Of course, fathers and grandfathers are supposed to love. But what does love really look like between fathers and grandfathers and their children and grandchildren? Years ago, Charlie Shedd, a Presbyterian minister and author, held a contest called One Neat Dad. He asked contestants to send in letters recommending their dad for this great honor. Here's a list of the 10 most appreciated qualities for One Neat Dad. Take time for me. He listens to me. He plays with me. He invites me to go places with him. He lets me help him. He treats my mother well. He lets me say what I think. He is nice to my friends. He only punishes me when I deserve it. He is not afraid to admit when he is wrong. The 10 most. But I want to bring your attention to one thing here. Notice that the first 5 qualities, and I'll repeat them, takes time, listens, plays, invites me to go to places, and lets me help him. All 5 of them represent time. Our children need our time. Even when they're adults. Our grandchildren need our great-grandchildren. They need our time. Time is an expression of love. One father tells about a special trip that he made with his son. He made arrangements for him and his son to attend a shuttle launch at Cape Kennedy. So they flew to Florida, and they witnessed an absolutely spectacular morning launch. While there, they took in every tour of the Cape that was available. He could see how much his son was enjoying the great parade of technology. As they drove back to the airport with the rental car, they played a sharing game that they often played, and it was called, What Did You Like Best? The boy turned to his father with a serious look on his face and said, The best part about this trip was being with you, Dad. Dads and granddads make such a difference in the lives of our kids and our grandkids as we love them in word and in deed. Let them see the tenderness of our hearts. Let them see the hopes and concerns that you have for them. Let them see how much you love them by the way you involve yourself in their lives and by the time you spend with them. The Apostle Paul described the role of a father well when he was talking about the way he loved and worked with the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians, verses 11 and 12, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. At this time, I'd like to ask all of the fathers and grandfathers to stand up. Would you please? Let us pray. We give you thanks, Creator of God, for the fathers in our lives. We ask for your blessings for them all. That Father's Day, we remember the many sacrifices fathers make for their children and families. In the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. So too, we remember all those who have helped fill the void when fathers passed early or absent. Grandfathers and uncles, brothers and cousins, teachers, pastors, coaches, and the women of our families. We thank you for your wisdom and humility these fathers have. Thank you for the strength that they have shown in the love for their children and grandchildren. Let them know that they are loved and appreciated. In your holy name, O God, we pray. Amen. Would you be seated, please? God has given us dads a very special privilege and calling. Let us never forget that. We can be dads and granddads who make a difference by leading, by laughing, and by loving. Let me end with one final story. As Father's Day approached, his father took his 3-year-old son to the card store. He showed him the cards for dads and told him to pick one out. So the dad moved back away to give his son room to pick the card of his own. When he looked back, the boy was picking up one card after another, opening them and quickly shoving them back into the slots in every which way. "Son, what are you doing? Haven't you found a nice card for your daddy yet?" "No," he replied, "I'm looking for the one with money in it." But here it is, folks. We don't want money and gifts. We want to know that we are loved and appreciated. And as it is with our Heavenly Father, we must love and we must appreciate others. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.